I were going to describe my films, I've used this in my credits before, and you know, that's I call my work sound films, which is to say that they're films that the sound comes first in. And I don't know if that's lost on people when I call them sound films. Well, I had this camera called the Stereo Realist, which was a 3D camera circa 1950, and it really works much the same way that the early 19th century cameras like Muybridge or so on would have used, taking two photographs with two different lenses. And you know, the way they did it in the 19th century was usually with two different cameras, but then joining the photographs together with a viewer, and in the case of the Stereo Realist, you use slide film. And it's a really sort of profound experience because you get to, you know, have this sort of hyper-realistic experience of what you photographed, right? It's luminous, it's like slide film, and it's three-dimensional, but it's not moving, right? So it's got all of the sort of the clues or hints of reality without time. So I thought of a way to join these images, and I made these things called phonoscopes, which, you know, if you go down to the Greek roots, means seeing through hearing. And there were these three viewers. It was my first subject was the Gowanus Canal, and there were these three viewers that I had set up with 3D slides of the Gowanus Canal from different angles, and then a set of headphones that would come out of this box. And I really thought about those recordings quite a bit when I was doing them, in terms of three-dimensional aspects, thinking about sound as environment, and started using binaural microphones, so the microphones that you wear in your ears to really reproduce three-dimensional sound if the listener uses headphones to play them back in. I like the playfulness of being able to sort of, you know, have this sound loop and being able to look at the viewer at, you know, select times and make connections between sound and image that were undetermined at the given moment you might be doing it. That and moving to New York City, which of course has its own huge effect on your ears, sort of pushed me to think about sound not as being sort of something to articulate something on the screen, or music, or something that's in a two-dimensional environment, but rather something that can really bring a world into three dimensions. I think that somebody who watched one of my films or even listened to some sound art would walk away with a sense of materiality. You know, a lot of that has to do with the tools I use, whether it's the visual or the sound. With the visual, I use Super 8 film, which has like this very exaggerated graininess to it. And then, you know, the contact mics that I use, which are also, you know, production-wise, very physical. I put them on things, and they have a different sound to them. But they also, you know, the fidelity of them is not so refined that you can't actually hear the equipment itself. There's a lot of pops and static and fumbling and sort of tactile interventions that I've made in the recording process. So I think all those sort of things that people might normally clean up and throw away in a film project become, to me, maybe more of a focal point. I think really closely about the stereo field. Sometimes I use, you know, two contact mics to create sort of a synthetic three-dimensional environment that wouldn't exist in the real world, but creates an environment that feels like a three-dimensional environment. And in that sense, you know, I want to feel like the film's traveling out to the audience and making some sort of spatial connection. I have to sort of struggle to, I think, sometimes let the subject or the content behind the materiality come through, because I think people get confused by that, and they're not sure why all the futz and the static and whatnot is in the way of what they want to listen to. But I think that's interesting to challenge people that way. Of a microscope for a contact mic works really well, right? So we're actually enlarging and listening to something that we may not be able to see or listen to from afar. And I think actually the analogy of a stethoscope works even better because of that additional idea of touch. And, you know, it is about listening to the inside of a body, and just expanding the metaphor of what a body is, and, you know, not necessarily a human body, but what is it like to listen to the surface or the body of a bridge or a piece of metal or a squeaky door. But yeah, I think that's a perfect metaphor for that kind of investigation. As time goes by, I'm more and more comfortable with the moving image framework, partly because I think that creates an environment where you can really capture people's attention. I think, as you know, making sound work is complicated, partly because people often don't have the patience for it. But if you give them a little bit of eye candy, you can actually get them to listen to a lot of stuff they wouldn't do otherwise. Specifically, I have to tell you my best, like, ideal, like, mountaintop of of listening environments is the Michigan Theater in Ann Arbor. Movie Palace. I love movie palaces. I love them aesthetically, but I also love that they're these large, sort of very acoustically live environments. And I love to premiere my films at Ann Arbor because they have this movie palace, and they do it right. They've got like the organ player that comes up from the ground and plays like a little medley of like James Bond tunes or whatever. And just you know, I've had an experience in both worlds. I've had, like, you know, pieces in galleries and museums with headphones that are sort of looped on the wall, or online listening environments, and it's there's just something really nice about the spectacle of the theater that I just can't get enough of, which is partly why I just keep going back to making something that can be programmed that way. It's funny because I shoot on a really small format, so actually seeing Super 8 blown up to, you know, theatrical size screen is pretty amazing. You can see the whole architecture of every piece of grain in the film. There's something exciting about having sound projected into a big space like that, and really feeling it move across the space and reflect against the walls, and really feel the space that it's in while it's playing back. I think that's a bonus. I'm hoping my new film will get into Ann Arbor so I can premiere it at the Michigan Theater. That's my hope. We will see. It's a experimental ethnography of two roadside ghost towns in South Dakota. And it has some of the similar techniques in it that I employed with Bridge, you know, so it looks at the material artifacts at these ghost towns and how they sound and are sounded, and how those material artifacts kind of stand in for the 19th century, even though it's anachronistic and we're in the 21st century and there's all this other stuff that's thrown in there that's not appropriate for the period. So it's a mixture of like these, you know, contact mic recordings of the artifacts with kind of more traditional, although not super traditional, but like more traditional voice interviews with the curators of the sites and some field recordings, and it's all shot Super 8 and it's very challenging. Lots of black with, you know, just sound, so